Okay, so we missed most of that stuff I said. I just wanted to skip the thing about the stock, but it's off. It's on now. Yeah. Okay, that's okay. There's just some benefits to just being there. Did we get the word that I gave to Denise about Melchizedek? We did. Okay, good. Then I'm happy. Okay. I want to talk about this year a little bit. It's a year of grace. Honestly, right now, if I just stop and close my eyes, I could be gone. I know some of you do that sometimes while I'm preaching. You're just gone. No, I don't mean it in a bad. Sometimes people get taken up. I feel like I could do that right now, but I'm going to try to talk for a little while. I don't know about you, but I've been having really some tremendous prayer. And, you know, I try to address the Father every day. How do you do that? You have to go to his throne. And I thank Jesus every day for what he's done. And I always welcome the Holy Spirit every day. And there's some other spirits that I go to their gates. You know, even though we know that God is with us, he's everywhere, but he does say to come to his throne. The Holy Spirit is with us, so we don't have to go anywhere to meet with him. He's always with us all the time. So we can always call upon him. But wisdom says, come to my gate and wait at my door. And so there are times that you actually need to go. If they don't come to you, that you come to them. And so I want to talk about the grace of God. I want to talk a little about thrones to begin with. Because one of the thrones that we go to is the throne of grace. What is a throne? A throne is really a seat of judgment. Or it's a seat of releasing law or judgments. 1 Kings 7:7, it says, then he made a porch for the throne where he might judge. Psalm 89:14 says, justice and judgment are the habitation of thy throne, speaking of God. Mercy and truth shall go before thy face. Psalm 103, verse 19 says, the Lord has prepared his throne in the heavens, and his kingdom ruleth over all. This one we have to turn to because I want to read it to you. It's a little bit longer. It's Isaiah chapter 6. In the year of King Uzziah, verse 1, the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord sitting upon a throne, high and lifted up, and his train or his garments filled the temple. Above it stood the seraphims. Each one had six wings. With twain he covered his face. With twain or two covered his feet. And with twain he did fly. And one cried unto another and said, holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory. Imagine the earth was full of his glory then, what it must be like now after the resurrection of Jesus Christ. A lot of them going through a hard time. Yeah, but the earth is full of the glory of God. It's like Jesus when he was there, where the man was let down through the roof. It was full of lawyers and doctors. But only one guy got healed. But it said the power of the Lord was present to heal them, but nobody accessed it. We can access the glory of the Lord unless we decide to allow the demons to not allow us to access it. Bob, that's not nice. Not supposed to be nice. We're supposed to access the glory of the Lord. I think I'm accessing some right now. I'll feel real weird. Yeah, church is really good today. Our pastor felt really weird. And the posts of the doors moved. The posts of the doors moved at the voice of him that cried, and the house was filled with smoke. Then said I, woe is me, for I am undone, because I am a man of unclean lips. And I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips. For my eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts. Then flew one of the seraphims unto me, having a live coal in his hand, which he had taken with tongs from off the altar. And he laid it upon my mouth and said, lo, this has touched thy lips, and thy iniquity is taken away, and thy sin is purged. Thrones are thrones of judgment, right? What did God do for Isaiah? He judged the sin in his life and took it from him. Catch that? He judged the sin in his life. He took the sin from him. This is not under the covenant of grace. The covenant of grace wasn't here yet. Isaiah 16:5 says, and in mercy shall the throne be established, and he shall sit upon it in truth in the tabernacle of David, judging and seeking judgment and hasting righteousness. God is judging the darkness with his righteousness. The reason the church has been in a lot of ways unable to judge the darkness is because we've been trying to judge it with our own righteousness. When you look in your life and you look at the things that are wrong with you, and you try to judge yourself by your righteousness, you're really just going into a level of works. We have to call upon the righteousness of God to come into our lives, and through Jesus it is, the righteousness which is of faith, and literally judge the darkness, any darkness in your soul, or that you come across, you judge it by the righteousness which is of God, the righteousness which is of faith. If we don't judge the darkness by God's righteousness, and we try to do it by our own righteousness, we'll become judged by that darkness. Because only light can judge darkness. Can you say amen? Let me just tell you something else, too. There are times that God has called you to judge darkness and you've been completely disobedient because you were unaware that God was calling you to judge it. How do I know if God is calling me to judge a darkness? Well, as a Christian, somebody who's saved, somebody who knows the Holy Ghost, when certain thoughts come and invade your mind, thoughts maybe that you've never had before, that's a darkness. Why are they coming at you? Well, the Bible says the gates of hell don't prevail against us. That means that we actually have been thrust into a gate of the enemy. And when you're by the gate of the enemy, listen, when you're at the gate of the spirit of wisdom, your thoughts begin to change. They just become wise. But when you're at the gates of the enemies of God, the thoughts of the rulers of those gates are there. And you can hear them and you can see them. I just thought I was being a bad person. No. You're the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. You may have thought you were being a bad person, but you were actually sent there to bring some judgment on the darkness. And intuitively, you fight against the darkness. Intuitively, we wrestle with it. But a lot of times we just think it's something wrong with us. And those spirits will try to help you think there's something wrong with you, so that you're just trying to rebuke the thought for yourself. But God is actually wanting you to take that throne down. He's wanting you to take that darkness down. And therefore, when the thought comes, you say, you are a lie. I am the righteousness of God that is in Christ Jesus. Then by the power of the Holy Ghost, wrestle with that thing and you bring it down. Bob, what happens if I win? If you win, God will then lead you to a greater battle. The Bible says the whole earth is full of his glory. Jesus came to bring God's grace where? To the whole world. He so loved the world, he gave his son so that he could bring his grace to the whole world. So what are we battling for? We're battling for a revelation of God's righteousness. We're battling to release in the world the grace of God into the hearts and minds of people who have unclean lips and unclean hearts. When you see somebody who they're really bad, they're wicked or they're vile or whatever, they have unclean lips and an unclean heart, they need an invasion of the grace of God to cleanse them. And sometimes they need a revelation of the darkness as to what it really is to scare them, or to where they're like, I don't want a part of that. I want to be free from that. Llewellyn Roberts is Jane Clement's cousin. His father has the largest charismatic church in South Africa, great healing ministry. Llewellyn spent some time bodyguarding for Benny Hinn and, you know, obviously did things with his father. He had a church of about 5,000 in Africa, all black. They'd given the building, said, here, you can have this church, and it was all black people, and they just kept growing like crazy. And he was a really prejudiced person. He'd hurt black people just because they were black, talking South Africa before apartheid. But when God came into his life, that all changed. What happened? What was the first thing that happened? Well, he overdosed, and he died, and a demon was pulling him into darkness, pulling him into hell. And he struggled against it, and he called on the name of the Lord. And he came back into his body. Later on, he was saved, filled with the Holy Ghost, and God changed his heart of darkness into a heart of light. But the darkness, it's amazing, woke him up to the reality of the spiritual realm, the realm of heaven, the heavenly realm, and the realms of darkness. When you have unclean and unholy thoughts that come at you, there are places, there are territories that God is giving you to take for the kingdom of God. We're going to start to see a lot of laws shift. And some people go, yeah, for the nation, but not for California. No, for California too. Why? Because God is pouring out, listen, God is pouring out revelation in California. You know how many prophets he sent here? You know, when he sent Kim here, he said it was the worst warfare he'd ever had, ever. And he battled with that beast over California. And he's prophesying to the nations out of this state. When Ian came here the first time, he saw the Nephilim spirit over Los Angeles. I knew that he was going to battle with that spirit. God is sending prophets here because there are gateways here in the state of California. And there are anointings. Listen, the city of Jerusalem has always been anointed by God. It's a city of peace, though it's the most fought over city in the world. But it's a doorway of the kingdom of God. God protects it and preserves it. It's a revelation of his goodness and his grace. It's a revelation of his kingdom. Los Angeles is a messenger city. Even though we're out here in Simi Valley, we're still part of that great city.